Hey everybody, Shane Presley with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight Studios at Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard in St. Louis, Missouri. Check out GaslightSTL.com. Get on there and schedule yourself a tour. Come out and check out the beautiful facilities they have there. Top of the line gear is just a nice place to... you can come out and see Cree Rider Family Band there August 17th, Wednesday night, recording a new album. You can hang out in the bar side of Gaslight and watch through the window as they record a new record. It's a really unique experience, and it's a lot of fun to be involved in as a fan or as a musician. So check out GaslightSTL.com. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and get involved. Also want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop, 4191A Manchester Avenue. They are currently in the middle of moving, so they are leaving the Grove and moving on to something new, bigger and better. So keep an eye out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram also for them. Find out where they're going to be moving on to. But until then, you can still shop online 24/7 over at musicrecordshop.com.
Hey guys, we want to tell you about an awesome show coming up August 27th at
the Old Rock House
with the Old Soul Survival,
the Daisy Ad,
Mount Thelonious.
The cover is $8 at the door, and we hope to see you guys all there. It's going to be a really fun night, and there may even be a video involved.
Podcast is kind of like a, it's like a radio show that's not on the radio, it's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I am Brandon.
And we are two-thirds of Fourth City Rag, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Y'all. A lady can go with any man. She goes out with me. Well, hot day. Her love is like tossing the sand. They hot, hot, hot.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with the guys of Fourth City Rags.
What's up?
Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, man. We're having a nice time hanging out here, talking before we turn the mic on, but figured time to start getting some of these stories on there and get to know you guys a little better. Like, a lot of these shows like have kind of been going this way like lately, and it's cool to for me as a music fan and as a, especially St. Louis music, it gives me a great opportunity to schedule something like this where we can sit down and actually get to talk a little bit and get to know more about you guys as individuals and as you know, as the band and things. So, but yeah, I just recently learned of Fourth City Rag. I saw you guys. Was off Broadway with Cara Louise and River Kittens.
Yeah, the River Kitten like second release.
Yeah,
party.
Yeah. So that was a good party.
It was a lot of fun. There was a lot of people there.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe I was wearing a fake beard.
That's
good.
But that was a lot of fun, and like I said, it was kind of the first time you guys kind of got on my radar then, and like, and of course, you know, more recently now, you guys. With the Jackal Fest and Whiskey War Festival and stuff. You guys are doing a lot of things with a lot of my friends that have, you know, guys that have, well, in that too, like, even got all those guys, Brother Lee and Old Souls and The Wilderness and all these guys I just recently met, you know, maybe a year ago now, and like I said, they've become good friends. So it's, you know, it's just kind of cool to constantly discovering new music right here in my hometown. And,
totally.
And so... Like I said, I'm thrilled to be here tonight to get to hang with you guys and talk about Fourth City Rag. So, yeah. When does this project get started? Where, how's that?
It was 2 years ago. I think 2 years ago we were somewhere around there. Two years ago, I'm just gonna say that.
Yeah.
2 years ago, we got together. I'd been working on a bunch of ragtime tunes on acoustic guitar and I met Knighton, our old bass player, and he played upright, and I asked him to kind of come and jam these tunes with me, and I had met our drummer via another friend, and so we started putting it together, and I had asked Brandon actually just to start playing mandolin, and he never even played it before, and was just like, just figure it out, and let's just do this. So we got together real quickly and just started playing ragtime tunes, and that's how the band started. And then since about 2 years later, has evolved into a country rockabilly roots blues band.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, they I was listening to the record Hot Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess is that the debut then?
That's the first record.
Yeah, right.
And it's the only one currently published.
Right. So I was listening to that and I was in the, you guys said Hot Damn is your single off of that, and but like it's definitely a lot heavier and rowdier than you know, the ragtime.
Sure, so. Yeah, totally 180 in a lot of ways. But I found just kind of so many similarities in the guitar players that I was getting into. I had gotten so into guys like Mississippi John Hurt and Robert Johnson and Blind Blake and slide players like William McTell at first, all these... It was cool because I went through the kind of the blues evolution of checking out these guys just sort of by accident that were really catching my ear that are from the 20s and 30s and early 40s. And as I got into that, then I started checking out more and more blues players and slipping into this kind of like country Chet Atkins, Jerry Reed world. And then it just kind of like, that's how I found Brian Setzer and Danny Gatton and all these other cool guitar players that I was just like, all of a sudden, I went through this like blues evolution and kind of just guitar finger picking thing that blew my mind. And so we kind of started to lean in that way. The band was on me about wanting to play original music because the ragtime band was like 90% covers. You would never know they were covers unless you were really into 1930s ragtime guitar players. But it was all covers, so we. The guy, especially Glenn, our drummer, was just really, I could tell he really wanted to play some originals, and I wasn't opposed to that at all. This was the first band I had ever played in that played any covers at all. So I started writing original music, but I just didn't want to write original ragtime. I wanted to write something more modern and where I could have more.
You started by writing a couple ragtime.
Ragtime style
sort of tunes. But then, yeah, it's sort of blended with this country thing that he got into, you know, and it's like, it seems like a far cry, you know, but if you really trace the steps, you know, I feel like there's all this very logical sort of progression from, like, this old-timey ragtime blues players, you know, to more, like, I don't know, folk-infused blues sort of thing, sure. You know, which then becomes this country thing, I don't know.
A lot of similar guitar techniques, especially with finger picking or economy picking and stuff like that, but that was just kind of like a cool thing where I was like, oh, man, now that I got this kind of style down, I started finding all these guitar players, but they would bleed into other styles. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, the relationship of like a guitar player like Chet Atkins and a guitar player like Brian Setzer, if you just listen to them on the surface, is kind of far, but if you're a guitar player, there's so many, you know, linings going through both of their styles, so it was cool. It was easier to jump. It wasn't like it was so out of the realm to be like, oh, now you're going from playing ragtime to, you know, metal. It wasn't the same thing. So
I love that's a lot how I discover a lot of music too. It was kind of in reverse, you know, like you find out like something like a Led Zeppelin or whatever that was, you know, very heavily influenced by those original, you know, blues artists, Robert Johnson
right,
and stuff.
Yeah, Howlin' Wolf. Yeah, like we were talking about the Rolling Stones earlier, right. And you just hear these stories about how they were obsessed with Howlin' Wolf, and you're like, oh, okay, well now that makes so much sense. So
sure.
That was kind of what I think we came to, the realization of like, well, why don't we take all these influences and these cool sounds, but make them our own, make them modern, you know, have fun with them.
Right.
Not just be stuck being a ragtime band, which was something we were all kind of worried about. Was like, okay, we don't want to be just that.
You so, feel sure. weird about recording an album of just covers.
Yeah.
Even though that's one of our albums that we are working on currently.
So yeah.
Largely that material, you know.
I think, I get it, but like some of it can kind of be fun. Like,
it's a learning experience for sure, too.
Speaking of Led Zeppelin, I know, Train, Pat Monahan and Train were just on Stern Show, and they cut an entire record of, I can't remember if they did a full, like, Led Zeppelin 1 or 2 or one record, or if they just did all Led Zeppelin covers on it, but they have an entire album of all Led Zeppelin songs.
Wow.
And they did some of it live, and they're like, you know, note for note, like, I mean, they really pulled it off. That's well, great. Like, it sounds great, but it's like, but it's, you know, it's just kind of weird that they were a band, especially of that caliber. I mean, they're a pretty big pop band, and go and put out an entire record of cover songs was
for a band that demands musicianship. Right. It's not like they're covering
them. Yeah, but I don't know. So, but I guess you know, whatever. It's all for fun. It's all
well. We're slowly putting together Led Zeppelin 4 just by joke of having fun with it in rehearsal, where it's like, oh, we're, you know, playing rock and roll, and then screwing around and playing parts of Black Dog and, like, teasing Stairway. It's like, one day I think we're just going to know it all, and it's just going to happen.
We've got the original record, Hot Damn, and it's currently out on, we got Bandcamp and stuff.
Yeah, you can find it basically everywhere except on iTunes. It's on Spotify for free. It's on Bandcamp. It's on, it's all on YouTube, so you can like just look up our band and you'll find the songs from the album. Where else is this? It's all I can think of off the top of my head. It's in the backseat of my car. It's in my bedroom. It's coming out of my ears. And
that's all you need.
So, and this just came out a couple months ago?
April 12th or something like that. Somewhere mid-April.
Right. So that, So then you guys are just jamming the ragtime, and you decide to get down and start writing some originals. And
it had to happen. And then, like I said, we didn't really want to stay an acoustic band. We had been playing a lot of shows as that, and it was a lot of fun, and we met so many folk acts that we like love around here. But we wanted to kind of get into this rock and roll scene, and that's what we kind of all as individuals really are, sort of.
Yeah, I feel like we saw like Manus Bros like rocking out, you know, and we were like, man,
yeah, we want to do that.
I
want to turn my shit up.
Sure. I kind of got that vibe listening to Hot Damn, like especially like the vocals kind of lend to some of their stuff. There's definitely a lot of similarities, like you're saying, there a lot of the cross influences and stuff. And,
yeah, totally.
Because they love that old blues stuff too. Great so, yeah. But yeah, just they are loud, man. Those guys. I love them, but they man, they was I saw them at Blueberry Hill on that Brother Lee show, and they just they had that thing cranked and like, especially in such a small room, like it was so loud in there. But, it was a good time.
That's their shtick.
Yeah, man. For two guys that make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
And I got news for if you ask them to turn it down, it's only going one way. And
right.
It's up higher.
Yeah. But yeah, they. You'll be playing with them at Whiskey War Festival coming.
Yeah,
up.
We're playing Whiskey War August 20th. It's gonna be awesome.
They're gonna be at Jack Fest too, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So Hot Damn, you guys write a lot of these things together, or?
It's usually me writing a lot of it, and then bringing it to the band, and or me and Brandon sitting down and kind of hashing through anything from lyrical ideas to just places that the song can go. I'll usually come with a lot of it already prepared, and then we'll sit there and just kind of hash out. If anything needs to be hashed out, we'll play it through or jam out some part where it's like, hey, this is a cool concept. Let's just play it, see where it goes. But then there's all these particular chromatic lines and things like that, and key changes and stuff that are written in usually prior. But
sure.
Everything's been, it's funny, I mean, it's like every band will tell you this, but you start with a song, and you play it out for 6 months, and then you ideally go record the album, and then as you play it out more and more, years go by, a year goes by, and the song sounds a lot different, everybody's got a better grasp on it, they've changed their parts a little bit, or whatever, you know, and the song usually takes on a whole new life, and it's just funny looking, you always listen back, and you're like, man, I wish we could record this now, or whatever, but...
It's been a little bit now, but fairly recently, I had an opportunity to hang out with The Urge. It was their 20th anniversary of receiving the Gift of Flavor, and they decided to instead of just kind of release a 20th anniversary edition of the same songs, you know, with a new cover or something. Right. They went ahead and
the greatest hits.
They wanted to cut a live version of it. So they went some like old theater in Webster Groves. They rented out for the night, whatever it was, and they set some mics up in the middle of the room. And it was kind of a cool like layout. There was like a nice flat area in the middle, and then it was kind of like slanted below and the top, and then people would. We all kind of gathered around. We all had dinner and stuff, and got to witness it as they went and recorded this entire live record. And like exactly what you're saying is like they recorded those songs 20 years ago,
right?
And
a whole new life now.
Yeah, when they played it live, like these after 20 years, the songs have kind of tweaks and evolved and stuff, and like so it's kind of cool to hear what they sound like now compared. I mean, it's still obviously very close to what the record sounds like, but there are subtle differences I thought that was a cool way to do that, and of course, like I said, to get that unique experience of being those live songs recorded like that. So it's kind of crazy how songs are kind of never really finished, they're always evolving,
right?
So who do you, what kind of like writers, do you think you are influenced by? We could talk a lot about a lot of guitar players and things, but do you have a particular writer that you, really admire? And
In the modern rock world, we get a lot of comparisons because I'm really into, Revan Horton Heap, stuff like that. That's just really in your face. It's rockabilly, but a lot of rockabilly truthers will say like, "Oh no, this isn't really rockabilly," because they're just destroying what rockabilly is, and they're handing it to you. So it's just crazy. But definitely, Revan Horton Heat's a big part of what our band's sound kind of came from. That idea. We definitely are a lot more country-ish sounding than them. They have their tunes where they'll really throw that at you, but it's kind of in the lining of a lot of our music. That's big. Tom Waits, obviously, when you hear the record, I get a lot of sound like Tom Waits shit, and I totally get that because I listen to a lot of Tom Waits.
Sure.
So I guess that, but it's not like the music doesn't sound like Tom Waits' music. So,
right.
Yeah.
Wish I would have worn my Tom Waits shirt now. I have a
Tom Waits for President.
Yeah, Tom Waits for President. I've seen that, sure, yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, those are the two that I get a lot of comparisons to. But like I said, the Stray Cats, Brian Setzer, even Brian Setzer and his orchestra, those are like the heavy hitters that I would talk about. I mean, and like I said, Danny Gett and those kinds of guitar players. But our songs are they're a lot more playful and funny and less serious than some of that. So,
So you were saying that kind of the next step for this. Is you guys are looking to get out on the road some more?
Yeah, once we figure out how we're going to finish all the records that we've started, we have some shows booked out of town. We've been doing a lot of booking out of town, but we're like in the middle of two records and sort of a third one. The record that's the closest to being done is the Ragtime record. So we started as a Ragtime band. We never recorded that record. So we actually went in the studio and recorded most of it. Or just like kind of an EP. It's like seven songs or something like that. We went in the studio and recorded it. We just had some issues with some stuff we have to kind of fix. But 80% of the record is recorded. So we have to finish that one. Which that record is called Storms of Bruin. So once... That probably won't be done before these other records, honestly. And then we have another record, which is the Slide record. That one, the main slide guitar tracks are recorded. It's cool because, like I was talking about Tom Waits earlier, what we're doing with the second record that I'm talking about is we're going to really make it kind of janky and not really sound like the way our band sounds like. You won't go out and see us play this record, and
yeah.
I doubt it. You know, but it's an all slide. There's some gospel tunes that are not our songs, some songs that are. It's about half and half. And it's got a Tom Waitsy vibe to it. We're going to go in the studio and kind of rummage around in the warehouse back there and kind of bang on some forklifts and take chains to the ground and do a lot of boot stomping and stuff like that. So we're excited about it because it's going to be really weird. We're going to experiment a lot with the recording process of what we can do to make it, you know, as hip as possible. So that's exciting. We have it all ready and kind of mapped out. We just need to go in and start finishing what we started.
Sure, man.
And then go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I love that kind of stuff. Like, there's a guy, I don't know if you guys are familiar, but there's a guy who's I'm a real big fan of, and he's been on the show, and he's a friend of mine, but Lincoln Durham out of Texas, and he does more of like a one-man band type of stuff.
I think I've seen him play before in St. Louis.
He was at Bootleg a couple months back.
Okay, I was thinking about this guy who's on Off-Broadway. I just can't remember his name.
He's played Off-Broadway. He's played Blueberry Hill. He's bouncing around at a couple different spots.
Does he happen to have a box with bones in it? On the stage.
I don't know about that.
That is probably not good.
But he does, so he plays like, you know, kick drums with his feet. He plays a lot of like real gritty blues slide guitar on a lot of stuff. He plays a violin on a couple of songs. And he has like a diddly bow, like one single string that he plays. And but anyway, just very, you know, multi talented. And of course, as a one man band, you have to obviously bring a lot of different instrumentation in to keep it interesting and stuff.
Right,
like,
totally.
But he, and harmonica and stuff, but just a really great singer-songwriter. But what I love about his records, though, you know, he, if you look through the liner notes and you read, like, there was, like, credited for somebody playing, like, a cardboard box and stuff like that. And he plays, like, he does in his live show, too, where he has like an old suitcase, and he has a song called "Ballad of the Prodigal Son," and he plays his suitcase. And partly it's a great visual, and he opens the show with it a lot. It's like a 2-minute song, but it just kind of comes out with that suitcase and just starts slamming it, and it's got this like kind of that old chain gang slave kind of, you know, the chant kind of thing going, and it's like, and he's just got this that
beat going with this old like vinyl suitcase, and it's just like, and it's just him and that suitcase and vocals, and like, and it's just a really cool thing. But of course, like, if you're sitting at the bar having a drink and like you're, you know, waiting for the show to start and you don't know him and you see some guy on stage, you know, beating the hell out of a suitcase, yeah, you're yeah. like, what is going on here? Yeah. You know, it's like, so it definitely gets your attention. But yeah. I just love looking at those records, though, like I was saying, and,
right,
and seeing all the stuff weird things. Yeah, so.
Yeah, we were already talking about different things, like putting radios through megaphones and recording right. Happen on the hall and stuff like that. So it's going to be a really weird record. We're really stoked on it. It's just a matter of kind of getting it done. We, like I said, we have it mapped out, and I've already recorded the raw slide tracks, so those are done. So it's in our eyesight at this point, which is nice. And then, I mean, on top of that, we're in the middle of starting to schedule demoing the next actual Fort City Rag, like rockabilly rock and roll record. That is kind of like where our focus is always at, because that's the show.
Mm-hmm.
So that, which is cool, kind of happened out of nowhere. All of a sudden the record was just written. It was just like, we've been goofing off and playing a bunch of shows, but simultaneously just kind of slowly always writing and trying some new things. There's some kind of definitely some curveballs in the next record of like kind of punker. There's some punker tunes. There's some really swinging stuff. There's, you know, really heavy. It's the heaviest stuff we've written. Yeah. So it's really kind of cool. And at first I was worried about it, thinking this record's not going to make any sense. Nobody's going to get it. And then I talked to Zach, our engineer, and he was like, no, man. He's like, yeah, it's like, that's what's going to be good about it.
Yeah. Right.
So just stay focused on what you're doing. So, yeah, we're excited about all of it. I mean, it's a lot of work left to do, but getting the help from the engineer, Zach, our engineer, and getting help from the guys at Gaslight, is gonna make everything way easier. So
for sure, yeah. I sat with Zach at Gaslight not too long ago and had a real nice time talking to him about all the everything he's a part of. He's got his hands on all kinds of different projects. And
yeah, we snuck him in. Well, one of our, me and Brandon here have another band with Zach actually, and Danny Blaze, the drummer from Brotherly and Leather Jackals. So Backwash, our like surf rock lo-fi band, will be out playing soon, which will be fun. So Zach's crazy busy. Yeah.
With like the ragtime kind of vibe, like, is a guy like Pokey from St. Louis, I mean, is that like a, is he influential at all for you guys?
I guess in a way, we get, when we first started playing out, that was the only thing we ever heard. Everybody was like, oh, you guys remind us of Pokey the Farch, and I'm like, well, hey, we and Brandon are not from St. Louis, so we spent a lot of time in Southern Illinois, as we met down in Southern Illinois, we're not from there, but we went to school there, and we saw him come through there all the time. He would come play Hangar, and he was always around. He was a celebrity, basically. And we moved here, and it was kind of funny, the first thing, we weren't thinking about that when we were here, because we didn't have enough time to even meet anybody. When the ragtime band started, we didn't know anybody. It's how we met everyone that we know now. So we just kind of went out and started playing it, and it was like, oh, all of a sudden, Pokey LaFarge.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right.
I kind
of
get it. I mean, but it's the same sense. It's also got to be flattering in a sense, too, like to where you are. I mean, that guy's, career
totally
blew up huge.
I was going to say, I always think about that when somebody comes up to me after a show and says, dude, you reminded me of this band or that band.
Yeah.
That I'm like, wow, you didn't say... it's always something positive. Like, oh, you remind me of... Reverend Horton Heat. I'm like, cool. I wish I was Reverend Horton.
Yeah. But so. It's also got to give, you know, obviously the sounds evolve, but like seeing you know, a guy like Pokey and other option or other names too, but like a guy especially from St. Louis now or Southern Illinois, and making it, you know, he's touring the world playing his music and stuff, and like you see that there's still the that sound is very much alive still, you know, it's like that.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, so. Actually, that it is still.
With Pokey, I feel like, you know, there's an effort on his part to sort of make it like a period piece, you know
He definitely has the hair, the clothes.
He plays the game.
The right instruments and stuff, sure. You know, to make it that sound. And, you know, I felt like we were sort of a modern take on the ragtime sound, as far as I have heard. I've never heard anyone do ragtime in that sort of, you know, arrangement or that sort of style and sort of attitude towards it, you know. It's like, I don't know, like,
You're totally right. It was definitely a different take on
right.
A lot of the ragtime stuff was just like these solo blues pieces, you know, like solo guitar pieces that, as far as I know, were never really like put in front of a band, you know.
Right, because we took ragtime real, you know, we just took covers and we were just like, hey, why don't we just throw some drums and bass and mandolin on top of the fact that there's already basically a whole band playing on the guitar. And it was cool because it was super full and it worked, and, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Do you guys discover a lot of that on your own? I mean, like, you were talking about some of the influences, but, like, I mean, did you have any family or anybody around, like, playing ragtime at all?
Not really.
From a very big, like, extended family.
Yeah.
I have over 43 cousins on one side of my family.
Wow.
And, it's funny because none of them play music, so it's weird. I had one cousin growing up who played, and I, like, really growing up, I was playing punk rock like everybody else, and, you know, playing shitty rock and roll and trying to play it like Jimmy Page. But then, I don't know, what happened is I started finger picking, and I studied classical guitar in college, and it got my chops to a place where I could actually play the stuff. So then I started getting into it, and then I was like, oh, I could probably play this kind of music. I really like it already. And then I started looking up resources and listening and figuring out a bunch of tunes, and then just kind of like it was an addiction for a couple of years where that's all I wanted to do, you know?
Sure.
I wasn't really practicing anything else. I was just playing ragtime guitar the whole time.
Yeah,
Matt's always sort of looking for the next sort of like style he can incorporate into his playing, I guess is what I want to say, you know?
Be concentrating on one and working really hard on it, as opposed to just being all over the place. But that's what's so cool about music, and
it's jazz period, you know, and like, I mean, I just feel like the ragtime stuff, once you started playing it, it just really stuck out as far as a lot of the music, you know, you're getting into and trying to learn and stuff. And I was like, very fresh sort of sound that I felt like, you know, related to what was going on, but wasn't exactly what was going on. You know, everyone was doing this sort of very folky thing, you know, like a lot of like very harmonious vocals, and the violin solo comes in and stuff like that, you know.
Right, it was the opposite of that. It was right.
Yeah, this was like very carried by the guitar, and all this really cool syncopation and just stuff that, as soon as I heard it, I immediately was like, this is awesome. I haven't seen anybody do this, you know, and it's like, I love the, I don't know, then I started listening to ragtime too. It wasn't like any sort of, any lead-in to that, you know.
Right.
It was sort of like, this is a sweet little area of music that I have yet to get into.
Yeah, definitely.
It was our duty.
I think that's cool, though. I think, like, you know, like you're saying, kind of having these couple different records in mind and all these different styles that, you know, things that you get kind of more, you know, different tools in your belt, essentially, you know, kind of thing.
I mean, totally.
It just blows my mind every time that I meet somebody who's usually, like, a great musician in one way or another, like, they're a great blues guy or a great jazz player, and then they're, like, not into, like, just, like, regular rock and roll, or they're not into, like, metal or punk rock, or they don't like blues, or they don't like jazz, and I'm just like, how do you not just think that music's just awesome? And, like, I get that you might not like a certain band in a genre, I'm like, that's just not my sound, but, like, there's something about every style of music to take that is so valuable.
There's always somebody doing it right.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's so true,
Yeah, I'm that's exactly what I say, man. I'm like, because my musical taste is all over. I mean, there's people I like in all these different genres, you know. It's like, I wouldn't say I really like jazz a lot, but, like, there are people playing jazz stuff that I like, you know what I think? You know, just, like, there's obviously people that stand out in each and you know, doing something unique with it or doing
right.
whatever it is. But I like artists doing certain things than I rather than just like by genre. Or
yeah, just like finding a way to incorporate. You know, it's like, oh, I don't really like jazz, but if you're a blues player, there's ways to incorporate the language into blues,
right.
which will make it more interesting and you know give you more things to do.
Sure.
As opposed to regurgitating and repeating you know the same.
And I think some of that just comes with educating yourself on it. Like, I mean, I grew up on blues and stuff. My dad played a lot of, you know, a lot more southern rock blues stuff, like all that, you know, Allman Brothers and ZZ
awesome.
Top and Skinner and, you know, like a lot of that kind of
guitar heavy music.
Yeah, I grew, you know, that was a lot of influential stuff on me as a kid. You know, a lot of that, and so we obviously my dad never had, you know, jazz records around
yeah.
for me to like listen to or anything. So I personally don't know enough, but the couple things I've heard has just kind of deterred me away from some of it. Other, but I think like again, if you doing a little bit of homework and you dig a little deeper than just what's at the surface, and you might discover some really cool stuff that you like and
things. Yeah, and you just learn more about your instrument. You know, you start right. doing a different style. It's like, well, everything from the harmonic material to the rhythmic material to just the way that it's played is different. So it's like, well, cool. This is something else. You know, as opposed to just hammering down one thing. But I mean, if you're a jazz cat, you could do that your entire life and never get to the end because
right.
that shit's insane. It
sure.
just gets deeper and deeper. So there's something to be said for wanting to be one kind of player and really being
yeah.
great, because I'm not that, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it's just kind of what keeps me excited about the guitar is just learning different things and different styles, different players.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so,
I mean, do you have any expected release on it in these future
records?
I
totally said that we were going to release one of them in August.
Yeah.
It's now July 27th.
That's not
gonna happen. But no, we were just talking about playing out of town. September will be the time in which
shoot for end of August release of Ragtime album. I think we can pull that off. Am I right?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's that one's basically done. And then I think in through September the plan is to finish. We're gonna do the rock and roll record. We're gonna spend a lot of time with. So
yeah.
that one doesn't have a name yet. But we're going to spend a lot of time with that record and demoing it, just listening back to the songs, thinking what we really, seeing what we really think about different ideas, and then also working with Zach at Gaslight, just going through different recording possibilities of ways we want to capture it, and different problem areas that we're running into, because we really want it to just be this great record, and we really like the songs, so it's going to be, we just want to really focus in on it. So we're going to start demoing that one, I would imagine, end of August. We're going to rehearse that stuff for the next few weeks and then
yeah.
be ready, try to whip some stuff out, new stuff out live in the next few shows we have. But and then I would imagine that one, you know, October, November, but then also the slide record, I bet, will be done right around the same time.
Yeah.
Maybe even earlier.
When you guys, like in Hot Damn and now like gearing up for this stuff, do you track that stuff or do you guys record live or how?
Yeah, the entire album, other than some little overdub stuff, other than in the vocals, was tracked live, actually in the room we're sitting in right now.
Yeah. I remember hearing a story about Brother Lee doing their whole record.
Yeah, Brother Lee did their record here. We did ours here. They did Bike Path, did their record that they just released here. Molly Sims has recorded a bunch of stuff in here.
Yeah.
Zach could probably name 25 other bands
right.
in the last year that have recorded in here.
Yeah.
We're actually sitting in a post session right now. So,
yep.
Yeah, it's super active, loud house. So.
Sure. Yeah, so we got...
A couple
new records.
Yeah,
on
a bunch
the way.
Of releases with undecided dates, but we'll probably
yeah.
We'll probably put a date out soon and hold ourselves to it. So
would you? I mean, is all that going to see like physical copies?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yep, physical copies, and I'm hoping that the next rock record and possibly the slide one we can do get to vinyl. But the rock one I think is more of a possibility
sure.
than any of the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm a huge supporter of vinyl. I've quite a few records. I mean, most of the artists I listen to support vinyl too, so that's what makes it easy.
Yeah, every show that I go to, especially like smaller independent bands, when you go and look over at their merch table, people are buying the record, the vinyl record, because it's, for one, that's just awesome to listen to because it sounds great.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to like listen to a record because it's like you put it on, it's kind of usually the main, it's not like you're, you know, doing a lot else. You usually got like your record room, you put your record on and you're chilling and listening to a record and really paying attention. And also it's just got that great artwork, physical copy, it's big, mm-hmm. it's just beautiful, you know.
Sure. I think Concheros, right? Is that how you say it?
Yep.
I was listening to them on TalkCast the other night, and they were talking about like buying tapes.
Yeah, they have a tape.
Yeah, they have a tape, but they like buying when they see other bands live. They want to buy tapes.
Buy tapes.
And I thought that was cool. Like I know, like I think the only tape I have most recently is like the Barn Mice tape from from those guys.
We just played a ragtime gig with them like a month ago.
This is my gripe with tapes.
Yeah.
I will lay that on you.
Here we go.
nobody has a fucking cassette player.
Right.
Nobody.
Well, Julio from Contreras.
He
said to me, he's like, I want to give you a tape because I gave him the album after a show. And he was like, dude, I need to get you a Contreras tape. And I was like, totally. And then I thought about it for a second. I'm like, I have no way to play the tape.
Yeah.
He goes, dude, just put it in your room. It looks cool.
I know.
I was like, all right, for sure.
It's like, it's like little like memorabilia thing.
Sure. Well, what kind of car do you drive? You know, because if you might drive a car, with a tape player.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at. Is like everything's available digitally, but it is cool to have that physical copy, even if you can't play it. But it's still.
It's also later in your house. Conversation starts.
Sure.
Somebody sees it. Oh, cool. What's this?
Like, yeah, it's a nice.
There you go.
It's a nice piece to add to the collection and stuff. So.
It just, I don't know, it rubs me the wrong way when like a band gives me their tape when I'm like, I don't even have a tape deck. And the dude's like, oh, neither do I. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
Right.
It's
kind of
like symbol. It's like a exchange of hats.
Well, it's like, I think like it's just a nice way to support. Like, I mean, what do you pay $5?
Yeah, it's cheap.
You know, even if you're, like I said...
It's definitely cool. It's like a cool item, you know. Don't take...
Yeah.
I mean, I just get the CD, you know. I'm just getting the CD. I have a computer. We all...
Sure.
You know, it's like that at least is a semblance of, you know, use that I can get out of it.
I was talking to my friend Nick Vatterott, comedian. He lives in New York now, but originally from St. Louis, and... The Comedy Central Records put out his last album, but they chose not to put out physical copies. It's only available digitally. But what they did do is he was trying to think of unique ways to, instead of just having business cards with a download code, having unique ways to market it, especially as a stand-up. You know, a lot of times you're at the merch table after the show and. Kind of, it's the same thing with bands, but I mean, you know, comedians do it, and then it's like, so he made these flip books. Like his album artwork is like a arcade pinball machine, and like his like head's like through it, and his arms are the flappers, and like hitting the balls into his face. So anyway, it's a funny picture, but he like. And that all came from like him like actually like acting it out because he couldn't relay the message how for the artwork to come across. So he actually like acted it out and stuck his head through paper and like and actually physically acted it out.
Yeah,
and like and somebody recorded it on video and they were like, we want to take that and make it like a flip book. So like
totally. So
if you take it and then that all also has the download code on it.
Totally.
So it gives them something to sell at a show. And it just
I'm all about
right.
it.
Well, me and Brandon used to play in a band that we had these super cool posters that we loved.
We would just
attach a download code. We would write a download code on the back. So it's like, you could buy the poster for $5. Now you could hang the poster up on your wall in your family room or whatever, in your bedroom.
Sure.
And then you have the download code. So you're getting both. And then that way we don't have to make physical copies. But, I mean, you know, it's still like having the CD in the car is great. It's like, oh, you're out driving and... you're going from one place to another far away and you're like, I don't know these radio stations or I don't have an aux, and you can just throw start throwing CDs in.
All right.
Like, that's the story behind Aerial Pink and Animal Collective.
Yeah.
Which is just this, basically Animal Collective was on tour and they had no radio and they had a CD player and they would just start to throw local bands that would go see them would give them their albums, and they just like threw in this Aerial Pink record one day and they were like, oh my god, this is unbelievable. And the next thing you know, they're calling him up and being like, hey, we need to get in touch with you and make this happen. So
that's cool.
Yeah, that's an interesting story.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but that's it's nice to know those things actually happen.
Right, those little Cinderella stories are out there.
Yeah, kind of gives you hope for everybody else, like, you know, just keep plugging away until that phone call comes through someday.
Sure, yeah.
Who would that, was it, is it Reverend Horton Heat, the one that you went to call, or?
Well, it's funny, because Molly Sims had just told me, like, recently, she was like, oh, yeah, we opened up for Reverend Horton Heat, and I don't know if it was the Ready Room or where, and I was like, oh, my God,
yeah. I'd
kill to get that opportunity. At the same time, it pissed my pants up on stage, or walking off the stage when they, be like, just ignore my playing versus your playing.
You guys ever get to meet some of these guys?
We got to open up for Murder by Death, which was really cool. That wasn't our band, but me and Brandon played in a band that got to do that, which was like, that was one of my high school idols, so that was a crazy thing. And same band, got to open up for Kendrick Lamar at an Adult Swim Block Party. And so we've got to do cool things like that in the past. So
that's a very...
That's a big name.
Different.
Yeah, different. Murder by Death and Kendrick Lamar. Yeah. It was weird. But,
sure.
But yeah, those were some cool things that we got to do, just me and him. Particular, but this band, this act in particular hasn't been playing out very much, so we'll see. But
yeah, well, man, Rock River Podcast, we're gonna go take you right to the top,
right?
Exactly. I hope so. Like, I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were kind of teasing, but like, it was Leah Osborne from Cluster Pluck, formerly of Cluster Pluck. She's doing a lot of solo stuff now. And and she's booked some gigs in Colorado, and I was like, she's like, yeah, I think it was because of Rock Paper Podcast, and I was like, I don't think that's true, but like, it's like, if anybody's listening and books my friends, like, I mean, obviously that's the ultimate goal, like, I want that to happen, but it's like, it'll be incredibly flattering if that was the case, like, that's somebody, a booker listened to the show and was like, I need to get them over here to Colorado, either way, it was very cool to her to say that, but I feel like some of that, like, I make that joke a lot, because like, I've had friends that on the show, like my friend Bobby and Kenny and stuff, they got to open up for Dave Chappelle at the pageant and stuff,
awesome.
So it's like, and things like that.
Forcing my way to meet them.
Yeah. Yeah,
of course.
But that's what I'm always like, before, you know, they were just doing the Funny Bone, and the next thing you know it, after Rock Paper Podcast, boom, they're opening for Dave Chappelle. So it's just like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you think about it, like, you're doing so many too, you're able to get out there and do so many,
right?
Eventually they got a hit, right?
Some do well, and it's cool to see that people are actually kind of giving a shit about it. That's the,
I mean, that's what I find so cool about you, is you're not out there playing, and for so many of us, we go out and support each other's friends and go out to all these shows, because for one, we're playing all of these shows, and
then,
you know, if you want people to come to your show, you better be showing up to other shows, because it's just the right thing to do, and then also you're just meeting all these awesome musicians and seeing great music.
Sure.
But
what my real like goal with this, and which is sort of happening, which I think it's awesome, but I'm sort of like blending those lines. There's a lot of these like different scenes among St. Louis, you know, like we have our, you know, kind of our Cherokee scene, and we have like kind of the Del Mar,
right,
we have
and then, like, the Broadway,
you know, we have Pops over there, and Sage, and you know, anyway, but like, they're all been on my show, and like, and people are discovering other, you know, along with me are discovering more St. Louis music, and like, man, we need to put a show together with those people, because they're doing something really cool, and so that's been really awesome to hear that kind of stuff. So, I know I had Fivefold on the show, and they're more modern alternative rock stuff, but my friend Emily Wallace said, you know, she's like, yeah, you shared their video on Facebook, and like, I probably would have never heard of them otherwise because I don't listen to a lot of that music, but I really liked what they were doing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it's, you know, people are actually listening to some of my suggestions, and it's pretty cool. So
yeah, that's great.
But yeah, hopefully you'll see an influx in downloads and Facebook likes and stuff. Yeah. So, but yeah, so again, you can come see these guys. Let's get some of these dates out here. We got August 6th over at Layla, and that's right there on Manchester in the Grove.
Yeah. That'll be some ragtime music.
Yeah. We'll be doing both bands ragtime that night. And rock
and roll. I was there just a bit ago and got the corporate clown burger.
That giant burger.
Yeah, man. It was awesome.
That's the modern Big Mac one.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I love that place. My favorite burger joint.
So I highly recommend you get yourself a burger and listen to some Fourth City Rag that day.
Yeah, we got August 20th at Whiskey War Fest, which is going to be great.
Mm-hmm. You said Bootleg also, August 11th.
Yeah, oh, you're right. August 11th, we're playing the Bootleg with
Kenshiro's Mother Me and Speaking Sons, the touring group.
It's going to be great. Yes. And then we head out of town in September. We're actually going on like a three or four day, ours is a 4 day excursion. I don't know how long they're going to be out. I think 3 days. We're going to Edwardsville, Chicago, either Chicago or Milwaukee, and then coming back to do Cree Fest.
Oh, yeah.
So we're doing 4 days, but we're actually spending 3 of those days with Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals. So it's a little mini run. We just went down to Carbondale, Illinois with them. They're really close friends of ours. So we're going to do those shows with them, and then we're out. That's September, playing Chicago September 2nd, which is a date if any Chicagoans are listening, would be a great one. It's at Quencher's Saloon in Wicker Park. And then 16th and 17th of September, we're going to be out in the middle of Missouri doing some shows and at some DIY houses and, you know, doing that circuit, which is a fun one for sure.
Yeah, man. Yeah, the house shows are, I think that's a cool circuit to be a part of.
It's a blast, yeah. I mean, no matter what band we've ever been in, it's always been a big part of it. It's, you know, it's a real, real great experience.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, it's a really ideal, I think, for, you know, premium listening experience. Yeah,
exactly. That's the whole thing, is everybody is just there for the music and ready to just kind of be a part of the show. And at venues, it's easy to get away and want to go hang out at the bar you know, whatever.
Yeah, I don't get that whole people pay their $10 or whatever to get in, and then just sit there and talk and the whole night. And it's like, go outside and talk. You know, I mean, I'm here just the other night. I went to the Sleepy Ruby show, and like, and they sounded incredible. And like, I was really, but I started just kind of getting agitated by the fans because there were so many people all talking over their show, and it's like, it's hard for me. You know, I just want it silence. I want to enjoy the moment, and like.
That's why we just kept getting louder. Now we're just a super loud band. And we're like, well, you could try and talk over it, but it's just going to be super loud.
Yeah, so and it, obviously it depends on the band. I mean, if it's a rock show and people are there, you know, obviously it's going to be, but they're a vocal band for the most part, you know, like you want to hear those harmonies and things and stuff.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So it's just, it's nice when you get that listening room experience and where people are really engaged in everything you're doing. So But yeah, man. So again, grab some tunes at Bandcamp or support these guys. Check out their record, Hot Damn, and we can throw some tunes on if you guys want to play some tracks.
Yeah, we're down. Definitely down.
Sure.
Well, you have any request? We talked about Hot Damn, the single.
Yeah, you can play the title track and maybe Money Train or. What do you think?
Yeah, I say give him Hot Damn. Give him Money Train. Sounds good to me.
Sure.
All right.
Money Train features our buddy from Old Soul Revival, Neil C. Luke.
Yeah.
Some vocals halfway through there.
Drew
Schaefer and Neil both on harmonica.
I love those guys.
Drew Schaefer on drunken harmonica.
Neil
C. Luke on slightly sober harmonica.
I sat down with Neil and Jeremy of Old Souls at
Foam. I listened to that one. They were both so hungover that they were still drunk.
Yeah, because
it was the night after the release.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And then Zach Sloan
was listening in. Yeah,
Zach Sloan. Zach shows up expecting just to have a beer with them, and then he ends up sitting in on the podcast, yeah. and we had a great time. And
that's great.
But I talked Neil into playing some. Atlantic City live acoustic, and it was really cool.
Yeah, that's great.
So
it was probably the sixth time he played that song.
Yeah.
Did you interview him after Record Store Day?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, they did. I think they did like three shows on Record Store Day or something like that. That's what
it, was. Was after that day?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So he probably played that song like six times in a span of 24 hours.
Yeah. But he sounded great, man, and it was like especially.
He's great. I love Neil.
But yeah, they're a great band, and they'll also be at
Whiskey War
Festival and stuff. So
they will
check them out. That's what I keep telling these people. You know, like show up early to these festivals because you're going to find your next favorite band on these lineups. They're both Jackal Fest and Whiskey War Festival.
Yeah, great. The lineups are crazy.
Yeah, so. So I got the days off. I'm going to be camping out all day, rocking. Nice. And
awesome. We'll see you there.
So it's going to be a good times.
Great.
But yeah, thanks so much, guys, for hanging out. Again, you got the social media. You got an official Facebook page.
Have a website.
No website, Fourth City Rag with the number 4.
Yep. FourthCityRag.com.
Instagram, right?
Instagram. Everything, because our band name is very unique. It's really easy to find us everywhere, which is nice, honestly.
Why Fourth City?
Fourth City is, it's two-sided for me. It's kind of funny. It has to do with the shipping ports off the Mississippi River. It was the fourth busiest port city in the 30s. And then it's just kind of funny because I think everybody has the claim to the idea of the fourth city because it's L.A., New York, Chicago, and then what? And then, I mean, obviously, you could say there's these giant cities like Houston that are, you know... But it's just funny to me, because, like, anybody could be the fourth city. Fourth city's just kind of up for grabs.
Right.
You know, who wants it kind of thing, so... But it's just got...
St. Louis,
but it? Yeah, it was. Yeah. It's a nickname for St. Louis in the 30s. That's kind of where we got it from, so...
Right on. Very cool. Well, thanks so much, guys, for taking some time out. I really appreciate this. This been a good time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So I will see you all very soon.
Yep.
baby. Go on. I need it.
My daddy ain't coming to Christmas this year. Because you know what?
Well, is it the weather again?
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.